Yo, you already know, bro. Migos podcast in the building. Price, Rob, Visky recording a night episode, baby.
Oh, Midnight Madness.
We coming to y'all. AFC North predictions. All contract year team for the NFL. We're also doing NBA. Is LeBron ready to be D Wade? And also WWE. Come on now, bro. Two WrestleManias. And we're going to talk about that. Oh, right now. Bro, Migos podcast in the building. Guys, it is a wonderful night to talk about the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, with the NFL comes AFC North predictions now. And we must start with, are the Steeler fans a wee bit right about Mike Tomlin right now? What do you think, Rob? We're going to start with you tonight.
So, like, here's the thing. Like, everybody's been talking about how Mike Tomlin has never had a losing season. He's only had winning seasons, only been based or non-losing seasons. You know, like, back when they basically had 16 games where you could beat five in it. You know, he could do something like that. But the thing about it is, Mike Tomlin would do things where you're not going to get too far over that hump. Like, he hasn't won a playoff game in a while. He hasn't basically gotten his team to where they've gotten any kind of real big success. They've kind of stayed the course and here and everything like that. And I was thinking, like, are they right? Are Steelers fans right to basically want him out of there? Because when you're talking about a team that basically is not getting over their hump, is just kind of treading water, is just getting right enough to where basically, you know, they are not bad, but like you might want to get somebody that's bad. Like you might want to get somebody that's going to get you in a position like what we saw this year, even though there wasn't that many great quarterbacks, get you in a position where you can get a quarterback, get you in a position that basically you can get something that can really be valuable for your team. Because they've gotten good at basically getting talent for certain positions. Like, you know, they got the best edge rusher right now in TJ Watt. You know, they had George Pickens, who is now in with the Cowboys. You know, Jarvis is going to be loving that when we talk about it next week. But they got things that basically you can point to and say, like, okay, this is an all-pro guy here, this is that. But they don't have anything on offense. They haven't really been able to put up a nice offense in a while. So I kind of think the Steelers fans have a little bit credence to say, hey, we should get somebody else new. I'm not saying that they should. I'm not saying that basically the Steelers should move on from Mike Tomlin, because you don't know what is you got till it's gone. But you know, the old adage of you don't know what the grass is green on the other side. Sometimes you're going to want some new grass. And I think that the Steelers might want some new grass, because it's like this grass is starting to get really worn out, worn down, and can't really do shit with it. So I get it on their side. Plus, they got Aaron Rodgers now. So, you know, they got two curmudgeons. It's kind of there.
Visky, do you think it is time to get rid of good old Mike Tomlin?
See, well, it's hard to say. I'm not a part of these folks that like to just up and fire coaches. So let's face it. The Steelers haven't had a Super Bowl winning roster to begin with. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, no matter how good the coach is, if you don't have the players to actually win or the skilled players to actually compete with the good teams, it don't matter what coach you put on the sideline. So maybe if they want to see first, get a capable roster of going all the way. Then if he can't do it with that, because look, he got mediocre rosters that he been 500, you know it. So if he gets a capable Super Bowl winning roster and then he fails, then yeah, it's time to move on. Because I'm sorry, no matter how good the coach is, if you ain't got the team, they ain't gone. Plain and simple.
That's a fair point.
It's time for some new grass, damn it. It's time for some new grass.
You about done with them too, bro?
I'm not done,
but it's just like I think I'm okay with them being done with it.
Look, this is what I'm gonna say. Mike Tomlin, all of the greats got to bow down, got to bow out at some point, okay? I know that he hangs his hat on. I've never had a losing season, maybe 500, but never a losing season. Well, it's time for you to go ahead and bow out right now, you know? Batman said, look, sometimes stay here long enough to become the villain, okay? I ain't saying he's the villain, but he's close enough right now. Just leave. Leave on good terms. Let somebody else take that headache. They always put you in the hot seat. They always ridicule you. Look, you know what's the best way to sit back and enjoy this? You buy out, and then if they have horrible coaching issues after that, you'll see if they really want you back or if they think that you're a sign of that you were such a stable of stability that they'll pay you more money to come back until they can right this ship. Maybe they will, maybe they won't. But I know one thing. The Steelers need new grass. They need, look, because it ain't about to happen with this quarterback, bro. It's not. I know what you're thinking. It's not about to happen. Look, DK Metcalf isn't going to be able to help you enough. Okay? He's going to need more. That defense still has to find itself. That offense has to find itself. It's a lot of soul searching going over there on both sides of the ball. Now, if you want to be there to go ahead and orchestrate that, cool. But me personally, if I'm still his front office, look, Mike, after this one, just go ahead, bro. Bob, I give you some money. Go sit down. I know you got plenty of it from me already. Go live your life. Go to Cancun somewhere. Go to Dominican Republic. Go to Brazil. Enjoy yourself. Yeah, anywhere. Just not inside this facility, okay? It's not here. I wish him the best out of there. I just wish him the best, but time for the Steelers to move on, bro. Now, from moving on, you know, the Browns have a hefty QB contract over there that they want to try to move on, but tonight may have been just a show, just a little inkling, a sign of hope for the doo-doo Browns. And it's could Shedeur Sanders become the NFL Zach Edey. Now, I'm going to say this, Rob. We might be insulting this man calling him Zach Edey, okay?
How?
We might be. Because he could be better than the Zach Edey. But as of right now, though, it could work. And with his pretty solid, okay performance tonight, no real major mistakes, the Browns get a preseason win, even though it's only a preseason win. I think that Shedeur might be okay, bro. He might be able to work for this. Now, I know that you're a little befuddled, but tell me, do you think he could be the NFL Zach Edey, or what do you think?
So when you say like, you know, you were insulting calling him Zach Edey, let's put this in a little bit of perspective. All right. Okay. So Zach Edey, first round draft pick, you know, basically guy that basically picked early. Also Zach Edey, first team all rookie. So he's a guy that basically has been touted. Fifth in the rookie of the year voting. So Zach Edey ain't no slouch right now. So let's put some respect on Zach Edey's name. The other part about with Zach Edey, and the reason why I think is a parallel between him and Shedeur Sanders, is that Zach Edey, was a guy when he talked about the pre-draft process, when we talked about the during draft process, it was a guy that was touted as somebody that could not make it into the league. And we said, hey, we said on this show, bunch of times, personally said on this show, moi said that basically he wouldn't be able to make it to the league because he got feet of stone. He ain't gonna be able to run up and down the court. He ain't gonna be able to do anything. And look at what my hating did, huh? It was another case of my hating basically making that man into something. You are welcome, Zach Edey. But I digress. But the thing about it is. With Shedeur Sanders, and you know, tonight he played absolutely great. Excuse me, because I know people are going to be like, he didn't play so great. Yeah, he played against preseason.
That's why I didn't cigarette. That's why I didn't cigarette. I say solid, solid.
And so I'm 3-2-1. He played all right, you know, especially for his first game being on an NFL roster, playing against NFL talent, played the whole first half against the Panthers tonight, did well, 2 touchdowns, had really nice drives, had some mistakes, basically, and had some pre-mistakes that I would say, because, you know, he kind of holds the ball out when he's trying to basically make the play, extend the play and everything like that. But he played well, and he was a guy that was also talked about. Doesn't have the physical characteristics, holds the ball too long. It's going to basically, you know, be somebody that cannot really thrive in this NFL as a guy that doesn't have great passing ability. It's accurate, but a guy that doesn't have the measurables to basically stand in the pocket with the people that are going to be coming out and rushing him. Is he going to be a all rookie player in the NFL? I don't think so. That's if he makes the team. That still is to basically be said and still to be done. But as far as a guy that basically might be able to do it, he might be the closest thing to it. Like, this is a guy that was very much told, oh, well, he ain't going to be able to make it. He ain't going to be able to do anything. He sucks. And he basically played at least one game well. Now, we're going to see what the next preseason game is going to be, whether he does play, whether they put in Dillon Gabriel, whether they go with somebody else, whatever. But it's a possibility that if that man starts in the season, we could be talking about a guy that is going to basically be touted and be up there, maybe in the rookie of the year, you know, balloting, maybe up there as far as like within the AFC North. Saying he might be NFL Zach Edey.
Biscuit. You think that he's the NFL's Zach Edey, or do you think, you know, this is maybe just a little flash in the pan?
I applaud y'all's optimism, but let me just be real with Shadua for a second. You played great tonight. I love the way you played. But let's face it. Number ones get on that field in week one, and you realize that you play for the Cleveland Browns. All them passing windows gone shut. All them defensive backs turning the corner on that sorry ass offensive line, and you running for your life. That's when it's gonna really kick in. Now, I think he played great, but he is not gonna get the experience until all of the number ones are on the field, and he really sees them small passing windows, them speedy defensive ends coming off the corners. You know, that's when he's going to really know, I got to play for my life. Because he don't have a wide receiver core that's gonna catch wild ball. He going to have to put it in there. You know, so, like, granted, I love what he did. But I think reality is going to set in week one that he really plays for the Cleveland Browns. He don't feel it yet. But I like what he's doing, and he's gonna be skilled. Like he has great skills to be, you know, possibly be rookie of the year. I like it, but I just think the team he plays for is gonna, the sorriness of the Browns might overshadow the good he's gonna do, which is, I'm sad overcome. To say, that's just what happens. Yeah, that's how I feel, and I hope it's not like that, because I would like to see him go out there and just turn the Browns around and have us all. That's what I want to see. I'm waiting on.
It's going to be interesting. It's definitely going to be interesting to watch. It really will. Now, with that being said, from the Browns to the Ravens, I'd like to say this. This is going to be another good Ravens season with lack of results. Okay. The Ravens, guilty of running back, high numbers, the freight train, Derrick Henry, 2-time MVP, Lamar Jackson, just doing this thing. But the Ravens fail. They trip every time. They're running up the stairs to get ready to do the Rocky, just, and they trip and fall on their face. Right before they even get up there to the top step, before they even start bouncing around the shadow boxing, they fall flat on their face. Okay. I feel like this is going to be another year where all they do is starting to stretch out to grab it. And then they go, oh, got to be quicker than that. I don't see them winning even this year. And it's going to be some Ravens fans out there who are going to say, I disagree with you, because we're always in the hunt for the title. Mm. Tell Joe Burrow that. Tell Josh Allen that, you know? And just eat it. Just eat that. Because I've been listening to the uprising of Ravens Nation, just, we're going to win it this year. Yeah. But we didn't get past Josh Allen. No. Mm. And Josh Allen got smacked by the boy wonder, Patrick Mahomes. You know, greatest QB I've ever watched play. So what makes you, Raven fans, think that y'all are going to get to it? Just an observation. Just an observation. My bro Migos here will elaborate and tell me what they think if the Ravens have a chance this year. But, you know, everybody has a puncher's chance. Maybe not a real logical chance. But so far, every year y'all start swinging. And somebody clipped y'all with the Mike Tyson, the Deontay Wilder. They hit y'all with the eraser cannon and get y'all up out of here. Bisky, do you even think that they could make it? Do you think, what's the chance that we see the Ravens in the Super Bowl this year?
I think they got a great chance. Well, you know why? Why are we giving the Bills credit for being in the same boat? Like it's only so many times they gonna get there and lose the AFC Championship game. You know? So you the Bills keep going and flopping. You know, the Ravens keep going, and I'm not gonna say flop because it's pieces, things that happen, right? So I think the Bills, I'm tired of everybody giving them hope. You know, they get to the AFC Championship game and flop. I'm tired of hearing it. Until they show me, I done threw away them. But this is gonna be they done already got their chemistry. I feel like this could be a year that the Ravens finally make the jump, finally get that push. I think they're going to find – I think Lamar Jackson could find a way with Derrick Henry to get the Ravens over the hump. Because you ain't going to just put Josh Allen above him like he ain't been flying some too. Come on now.
Oh, no.
And Pay Mahomes, you know, it's going to kind of – it's gonna be kind of hard, you know. Because, you know, when the pinstripes start kicking – you don't know. No, you got to play the 12th man when you play them. So, yeah, you got to play the 12th man.
Nah, you gotta play the
12th unless man. They can get past the 12th man. So if they get past the 12th man of Patty Mahomes, they got a chance. It's all up and them three teams are up in the air. I feel like depending on scenarios, weather depends on how the games play out and the weather and stuff. So. I think they got a chance. I'm not counting them out.
Rob, I would have to hear somebody holler about the 12th man only because somebody's Cowboys didn't get a catch. What do you think that the Ravens might do this year? You know,
I gotta say, if they don't do it this year, I don't think they will. It's similar to the Bills. Because it's like, I'm looking at this roster and I'm looking at the guys that they brought in. So, like, one of the big names, which is one that is going to come up a little bit later, Jair Alexander. You know, like, that's a name. That guy basically is going to be on a revenge tour, especially on the other side of Nate Wiggins, who they have there as, like, one of their nice corners. And still having, I think Marlon Humphrey's still on the scene. I'm just checking right quick. But, like, yeah, like, they, like, yeah, Marlon Humphrey's still there. Like, yeah, they're going to have a nice squad. They just brought in D-Hop. Or whatever vestiges or whatever they could add to basically put along on the side of Zay Flowers, similar to what Puka Nacua and Devontae Adams is basically going to be doing. Like, they got a nice guy. They got a still nice-ass squad with Derrick Henry coming back, Keaton Mitchell that basically I love as a running back. Hopefully he comes back from his injury. He looked good from the highlights that I saw the other day. But, like, this – Ravens, y'all got to do it this year because it's like y'all basically, it's the same thing I basically just said about Josh Allen. It's like, y'all get there. And what Nate just said, y'all get there. And then it's y'all just like, you know, like just Sisyphus. It's just like, y'all ass is rolling back down that hill. It's like, oh, damn, we got to start all over again. But y'all get a lot of niggas' hopes up. But y'all got to follow through. Lamar, you got to follow through. You've been doing the MVP thing. Now you got to basically do that next step. You know, you got to hit that next step. Get to that Super Bowl, man. You know, like, you got to do that, dog.
And before I switch gears, Ravens, don't take it as hate. And the reason I throw it to y'all like this is like this. The Eagles couldn't get over the hump. They added a worldly rusher in the back to compensate for their quarterback to help carry the load. And the quarterback was able to show up. And in reality, the Eagles defense was like the monster that kept Pat Mahomes from untaming, even as he started to uncork at the end to try to score, which thank God he couldn't do that the first half, because that game might have been a different game. But you were able to control him for half of a game to make sure that you won the game. You can't add Derrick Henry and not go. You have a MVP and you cannot go. You have Bateman. You have a worldly defense. You can't have all of these things and then keep coming up short. And Josh Allen, don't think that I like you either, because I'll shoot and kill the Buffalo Bill anytime. You know Buffalo ain't good. I ain't afraid of Bill. Y'all just a bunch of unruly animals as far as I'm concerned. But you're going to have to fight your way out and then win. And I will say this, even though one of my bros, Rob, thinks Patrick Mahomes is on a down season this year, don't be surprised if he comes out with a fire lit up on him, new haircut, new him, and he tries to go back to the Super Bowl again. If there's a team who could possibly do this again, it's them. And if you have to face or deal with that monster, he don't play once he get there. He don't play.
Counterpoint. That's exactly why y'all motherfuckers need to step up this year, because this is the time, like this, where this basically, this motherfucker's been on a slope or on a trend of, I'm only going to the AFC Championship every year. He can't do it again. He, like, I'm like Jesse Pinkman, like in fucking Breaking Bad. He can't keep getting away with this. Like, this has to be your time. You got to take advantage of this. Do it now. Because it ain't going to be that many times in the future. This motherfucker gets on another trend, he's going to get back on another trend. And you are going to be waiting outside in the rain talking about, oh, well, I could have. You got to get it now, dog.
Yeah. Look, I'm a firm believer in this. And some people that say, oh, you just riding on the Chiefs. No. You watch Patrick Mahomes play. Whenever Patrick Mahomes goes on a bender for seasons, he is in your ass 24/7. He is there. He's not going away. He's not. Look, you say do not pass go. He passed that bitch 6-7 times. He collecting a couple racks.
He's Jesus on cleats. He is Jesus on cleats. Like, you gotta basically, there is nothing comparable to that nigga right now.
Your period is short, and you have to remember that, because your play style is different than his. So your body at some point taking hits from running is going to wear down. This motherfucker body, he only take off whenever he needs to. And the son of a bitch is fast.
Build off beer. Yeah. Just, that's all he does. Like, he do. Drinking and
he'll dip out of bounds. He ain't trying to run into nobody. He'll dip out of bounds if he runs. So Lamar run into somebody.
Yeah, he does a lot of sliding. He's one of them dudes, I think he might play till he's 38 at a high level. And he's going to be, oh man, we got to deal with Patrick. You know, it's a serious thing to deal with him. But from the Ravens to them old Bengals. The Bengals should have chased defense instead of offense. Rob, you put this here, and I cannot agree more.
Yeah. I I understand the power of friendship, and I understand basically wanting to keep cohesion and chemistry together. They could have divvied out some of that motherfucking money to give to some motherfuckers. It's somebody that's gonna come up in this in us all contract year team that really want to basically deep dive on. We're gonna keep that for later. We already spoiled one. I can't spoil all of it. I got to keep y'all here for some reason. But no, like they did not really go after defense as much as they should. They went out and got Shamar Stewart in the first round, grabbed that motherfucking kicking and screaming to sign a motherfucking rookie deal. But basically, yeah, like they did not really tackle as much as they could. They really need to refresh that defense that was putrid. That was the part of the reason why they basically were outside looking in, even though Joe Burrow tried to be a miracle worker and basically get them to get them into the playoffs. They went and basically resigned Ja'Marr Chase, which I get it. I understand. You watch that motherfucker play. He is arguably the best wide receiver. And I got to say arguably because Justice Jefferson still exists. And he is my dog. Go Skull, Skull Nation. But like, they also re-signed T. Higgins. And like I said, I understand the reasoning of wanting to do it. This is a great tandem. T. Higgins is not a number two. He is a 1A, 1B Ja'Marr Chase. I keep getting every motherfucker in this. It's nighttime. but like, Ja'Marr Chase, is that dude, and especially when you compare him on the other side of that, it's like, yeah, you want to keep that together, but you really want to basically have something because you can't boat race motherfuckers all the time. They needed to go basically get more defense. They needed to go after some free agents that basically can really replenish their defense. They needed to basically not just Shamar Stewart, but just get every motherfucker they could find on defense in that draft. Just something. Because, yeah, this ain't going to work out well, and you're going to basically see 30 points a game basically being given up by Cincinnati, and that being a going notion.
Jarvis, do you think the Bengals should have chased some defense instead of offense?
I couldn't agree with Rob more, because nothing pisses me off with seeing multiple 25-point losses. You shouldn't score 25, 30 points and still lose the game. Come on now. The Bengals front office, they're going to waste this trio, and they're going to let them age if they don't get defense to help them. You, like you say, you can't have them going into a shootout every single week, a shootout to make the playoffs. Like, come on now. If the quarterback don't get you at least an inning, you got to have a defense to say we got back. That 2020 going to be good enough. But no, he has to go get 50 because y'all ain't got nobody that can stop the ball. Come on now. Don't waste it. Because Joe Burrow, I mean, he going to be good for a long time. Ja'Marr Chase is going to be good for a long time. I honestly don't think they needed T. Higgins. I think they could have separated and got somebody a little cheaper. You know, because Ja'Marr Chase, I don't care what you say. You could throw the ball to him and ain't nobody going to stop him. So, I feel like they got somebody a lot cheaper, and they probably could even went to free agency on defense to get somebody that defense, because don't waste these prime years because you ain't got no defense to help out your offense and get back to the Super Bowl, because you got some talent. And to me, if they had the defense, I feel like that would be the team to knock Patty Mahomes out the way. That would be the team you need to watch out for. But since you don't have any defense, might be looking at another 9-8-9 win year. You never know, because all their games end up being toss-ups. And that's a sad way to lose toss-ups and not make the playoffs. So get some defense. Come on now. What's going on?
Yep.
So I want to read you guys a couple stats. 348 net yards a game. 348 net yards a game. That's how much the defense gave up.
Is that bad?
It's that bad. That bad. People averaged. Well, look, you're giving up 348, and of that 348, you're giving up 223 in the air on average, and then you giving up 130 on the ground on average.
That's Drano. Like they running through y'all like weak old milk.
Yeah. There's only 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. 7 teams worse than them. Okay. But to say that you're a high end offense with that bad of a defense, you are, and look, sorry, Jarvis, I gotta throw you down here. They're down there with Dallas, with Los Angeles, with Chicago, with Indianapolis, New Orleans, Jacksonville, and Carolina, who all had horrible seasons last year.
Booty.
That's where you are. And they managed to make the playoffs with that bad of a defense. But they struggled the whole time. All offense. They could have gave up some offense to go get defense, though. It doesn't matter how you cut it. Mm-hmm. No matter how I look at this, Cincinnati, you paid T. Higgins, you paid other people. But for what?
Yeah.
But for what? That's going to be the question. Because unless you're going to score 35 a game, because you're going to give up damn near 30, you're going to have to score 30, 35, 40. Unless this is about to be the most potent offense that we've ever seen in our lives, and you're going to put up almost 40 a game to win 10, 11 games, it's not worth it. I know other people may think differently, but I'm sorry, T. Higgins. I would have tried to package you for as much defense as possible.
Yeah.
I can try to find me another receiver. I could have went to the draft. I can get one in the draft. I can develop a number two receiver behind Ja'Marr Chase. I can develop a number two behind him. I can go try to find a vet somewhere. I can't keep throwing on offense. We just watched the NBA team go through this in Phoenix. Hey, guys, let's add Bradley Beal to two guys who are already a lot of offense, and we're going to win. And you didn't even make the playoffs.
Yep.
That's where we're headed right now, Bengals. No playoffs, 35 points a game, give up 30, 40 points a game, and then everybody's going to be sad in the locker room. That's what we're looking at. I don't know. Maybe. It just throw it out there. Somebody would want him. Maybe even the Bears, who may have picks. Anybody. Someone is going to have something to give you to further that defense. Anything. Mm-hmm. Now, from Bengals to people who are about their bucks.
I like it.
Rob came up with this, and it's going to be the All-NBA contract year.
Not yet.
And, it's not yet for the NBA? I thought we had the All-NBA contract year.
I mean, yeah. We're doing NFL right now.
I mean, NFL All-Contract year. My bad, guys. I was thinking about NBA. Yeah. NFL All-Contract
year. Between names and all that.
Look,
yeah,
look,
we all missing up.
Hey, look, you know what? It's on me. I had the Orlando Magic shirt on. That's what happened. It was just it got caught up in the air. It's all good.
Look, the all contract year of people who are out here about to get their money or have gotten their money, you know? Or they looking for their money, because you know a lot of y'all out here. That's whenever y'all get y'all Paul George on and play the best and then come out there and go sit on the bench half the year after that. So we're going to start Daniel Jones for our quarterback.
Yep. So the reason why we want to do an all contract year team, mainly because when we're talking about fantasy football, so like this is the time for fantasy football drafts, and we're actually going to have a couple fantasy football drafts for Brahm Eagles podcast coming up real, real, real soon. So the announcement's coming up real, real, real soon. So be on the lookout. But no, when you're basically picking your fantasy teams, you want to pick some of these players because they're going to be basically balling their ass off because they're trying to get a new deal. So first up, like Nate said, Daniel Jones, kind of by default. It's not a ton of NFL free agents or quarterback free agents that are out there. And as you kind of saw, Anthony Richardson's job doesn't seem very secure. So Daniel Jones being out there in Indianapolis playing for that team who just drafted Tyler Warren, who got Michael Pittman Jr., who's got basically Jonathan Taylor, he's got some stuff out there that he can basically work with, maybe pull a Sam Darnold and get himself some more money. So, I mean, Daniel Jones is the guy that I would say is for the quarterback position for the all-contract year team.
Daniel Jones, that whole Indianapolis thing is a mess there. That's to say the least.
It's a mess, but the mess is kind of centered around the quarterback position. Like, yes, they do have some pieces other places. Quiddy Pay, who I would have basically put on this team for this year. They got other players that are pretty good, but like, yeah, no, it's really centered around the Anthony Richardson has not been able to take the next step. It is still early. The man is still young, but it's like, you got to do something soon. Like, there's time, but you want to get some level of niceness that you can really look at and be like, okay, this is the future. This guy's. But speaking of the future, so I got two running backs that I basically want to name. So running back one for the all-contract year team, Breece Hall. So it's a name that basically we've been talking about, especially with the Jets, with, you know, a guy that basically has been running well, has had injury issues. This is the time where he's basically going to want to stand out and get that money, you know, either out of the Jets or out of somebody else. But the thing about it is he's going to have to do that. Like, they're going to probably have somebody else coming up behind him to basically take his position because he's that contract year. But this is the time that he needs to basically play out. Another guy who's in that same boat, especially when you saw it last year, Rashad White with Tampa Bay. Bucky Irvin is right there to basically supplant him as RB1 on that team. Even though he's RB2 here, it's really more that he needs to basically have that year. So he's going to be balling out. He's going to be out there in the flats. He's going to be out there doing every kind of dirty work to show you should be paying him his money. Those are my two running backs for that.
Okay, and I'll take up a few for you. Wide receiver one, Scary Terry McLaughlin. Okay, I'm going to stop here for a second. Commanders, you better pay him. Y'all got to. If you don't pay him and he goes somewhere else, Jaden Daniels not only will be in fear of that sophomore slump, but he ain't gonna have no number one.
Like, you got the best deep ball throwing quarterback without one of the best deep ball throwing receivers. You're really trying to separate peanut butter and jelly here. Don't separate peanut butter and jelly. Just let that put those motherfuckers on two pieces of bread and rock. That's what y'all need to be thinking about. Keep these motherfuckers together. Just, I know he's about to be, 31? You know, he's going into his seventh year, eighth year, whatever it is. Give that man his money before it's too late. Y'all fuck up with this.
Okay. Now, with that being said, Scary Terry, well, from Scary Terry to Deebo Samuels. Look,
his teammate.
This is a guy who I thought was not going to end up in Washington. I thought that this guy might end up somewhere like Dallas, but he didn't. He still can. Deebo, you kind of forced your way out, and I know that you're happy that you got your way out of this, but this is what I will say. Getting out of the 49ers, I felt like it felt wrong to me, Rob. It felt wrong. I felt like he was supposed to stay. He was supposed to be there and continue with the current quarterback who just got paid. Maybe that's just me just looking at it, how I've been looking at it, but hey, Teach is on with that one. Okay, Christian Watson.
Yes. This is another guy. Yeah, this is another guy. Yeah, like he's had a ton of injuries as well. Like, but this is the time where you got that crowded wide receiver pool right there with Green Bay, where you got, you know, Jalen Reed and you got the Tarion Wicks. Like, you got some dudes that basically is right there. Like, he has the great mobility. It's just that when it comes to Christian Watson, it's just like he cannot stay on the field. Like, he is a touchdown threat every time he gets on there, but it's like it's far and few between. He kind of reminds me of Giancarlo Stanton. It's like he has that kind of home run ability, but four games out of the year, essentially, because that's all he's healthy for. Like, it's unfortunate, but it's like that. It's just a real thing. It's just a thing. Like, honorable mention, I would say, for like Christian Kirk with the Texans, is a guy to watch out for. Hollywood Brown as well, but like Christian Watson, I know he's gonna want to show out this year. He's gonna want to basically play as close to 17 games as possible. But that's a guy that I would say be on the lookout for.
Okay, this next guy, I believe that the sky can be the limit for him if he's put in the right position. Kyle Pitts Sr. Let me tell you something, Atlanta. Mm. You need to put plays in there and let this man do what he needs to do. He needs to be targeted. I ain't gonna blame Kurt all the way because Kurt had his favorites, but Kurt, you wasn't throwing the ball in that man's direction enough. He's 6'5", Kurt. He's 6'5", 250.
All the ability in the world.
Did you not see the scouting report from him when he came up out of college? They graded that man a 98 or 99 out of 100.
Mm-hmm.
He was that surefire of a pick, and y'all won't use him. And not he's still young. 24 years old.
That's crazy. Like, think about how long we've known of Kyle Pitts. It feels like that motherfucker's like 30. It feels like they've been trying to basically for real. Like, it feels like they've been trying to keep that motherfucker in Mylar, like keep him preserved or something. Like, no, let that motherfucker rot. Like, you know, like he's basically now trying to basically like he Michael Penix. I can't stress this enough. Rip that motherfucker out the plastic, all right? Make him a 1,000-yard receiver. I think he's only had, 14 touchdowns in, 4 years? Some shit like that? It's a crazy,
Ten.
See, I even overrated you. Like, I gave you more than what you had. Like, that's fucking nuts. Like, when this motherfucker came out of college, we were like, oh, he's going to be a perennial Pro Bowl candidate. He's going to be, 10 touchdowns a year. He's going to be a red zone threat, all this.
Here's the crazy part. He had 110 targets his first year. He had 1,000 yards. Only got one touchdown, okay? Second year, he was out seven games. He had 59 targets, 356 yards. Third year, 90 targets, 667 yards, okay? Last year, 74 targets. For 602 yards. Now, granted, this comes off of 68, 28, 53, and 47 receptions. This man is not getting targeted like in his first year. This man needs to be targeted heavenly in the game.
Yeah.
I've watched him run and just quit sometimes because he know that they ain't throwing him the ball. Like, he's like, they never throw it this direction. They don't throw it to me too often, man.
Yeah,
I just kind of stand here and I'm be the 6'5" target right here, and they don't throw it.
Be around.
It is a travesty what they do, and I will say this: if he gets to a high end quarterback, he's gonna make Atlanta eat shit.
Mm-hmm.
He's gonna make Atlanta eat shit, and it's gonna be horrible for him. Defensive tackle one, DJ Reader, Rob.
So
they haven't paid this man?
So here's why I think they haven't. So he's 30. He's about to be 33 coming up on this season. I think they basically are just like, all right, you know, we're going to see what we're going to do about this. He's pairing it up with another guy that I have on the all contract here team, Levi Onwuzurike. Onwuzurike. Yeah, that's probably right. I've been getting names wrong. We'll just add that to the list. But no, yep. like uh, He basically, both of them guys, or Aldrique basically is coming off his rookie deal. Reader is you know, a guy that's been a journeyman. Like, he's been around. He's been around the league for a while. So, I mean, like, I think it's really more, this is probably like his last contract, I would think. But, you know, he's going to basically try to play out, especially with that Lions defense, who now is, you know, without Aaron Glenn for the first time in a while. That's basically gotten is going to get some of their players back, like Aiden Hutchinson, Brian Branch, all those kind of dudes. Like, it's going to be a better defense than what was shown down the stretch because they were all just really hurt. But nah, those two guys, I would say, number one and two defensive tackle. If you have an IDP league, those are guys to basically go at.
Yeah. So far, he's coming off of like a career high in sacks. He had 3 last year, which a lot of guys would be like, oh, that's not a lot. You're probably right. He's looking at probably his last contract. It's going to be if he can push and make anything of it. Maybe he can be of value to a team for a little bit of nothing if they can get him for like a late round pick. Maybe he can make an effect somewhere, be a very good backup. You never know. Mm-hmm. But defensive end one.
This is the guy that basically I was alluding to. There's a teaser about Bengals who they need to pay, especially when you're talking about defense. A guy in Trey Hendrickson, who's basically been an outstanding defensive end throughout his career. Guy that basically needs that money. So, like, it's like somebody else that basically I'm gonna talk about. It's a lot of teasers in here. That's what we do at night. But like this, like when you're talking about not paying defensive players their money, especially when they earn it, dog. This is a guy that's earned that money. Bengals, stop being cheap. Y'all not, well, stop reallocating your money in the wrong place. Trey Hendricks earned his money. Kind of same thing with this other guy, Malcolm Kuntz, out of with Vegas. Like, being on the other side of Max Crosby, who has got his money repeatedly and earned it as well. Like, these are two guys that basically need to get their money. Get them paid, get them long-term contract, and basically call it a day. But this is what you guys need to do. Make sure y'all paying these dudes, but at least have these people work out for you, fantasy owners. Malcolm Kuntz, Koonce. Yeah, that one. And then Trey Hendrickson.
So look, and I got to say this about Trey Hendrickson. 17 and a half sacks last year. Okay? 17 and a half sacks last year. Pay him. Money. The big guys get gritty out there. Pay him his money. Y'all already are lagging defense. You need at least somebody to smack the quarterback upside his head every now and then. And he's done it 17 and a half times back-to-back seasons. Pay him. He's in his prime. He's clearly in his prime. He's out here hitting 17 and a half back-to-back. Pay him his money. That's all I'm going to say. Pay him his goddamn money. And this one. This is your part right here.
Look, you got Micah the ball.
Parsons, go ahead, Vizky.
Jerry, let the motherfucker go. He don't want to be there no more, goddamn it. Mm. Even though he deserved his money, and it's your fault. But at the same time, now you got him, don't even want to be there. So now I feel like it's too late. The time has passed. Micah, you don't want to be there. Bye. Because we got two more guys that they by the name that we could just replace you with, that I feel like will be some good replacements. The next two guys on the list, we could plug and play. Because Micah, I love you. You was a great. You earned your money. But now you ready to go. Like, you ain't want to be in Dallas no more. So you ain't want me to root for you no more. So even though I was rooting for you to get your money, you can't hold nobody hostage. You know, after all this, I feel like the turmoil is just going to be too toxic, you know. So I feel like either you're going to pay him or what I feel like, look, he ready to go, let him go. Because he's not going to play up to par with this on his mind. And, you know, one of these next two guys, I feel like They could fit right in, and we could make a move.
Damn.
Ben, well, I really prefer Joey Bosa. Yes, Bosa, he has made a statement. I feel like we can go steal him, plug him into the defense, and he gonna work just fine. You ain't the only goddamn linebacker in the league. You ain't the only one bringing that smock. Joey Bosa, let's start waiting on you. We waiting. And no, even if we do miss on Joey Bosa, I feel like Nick, no pronunciations.
Bonito.
I feel like he did make a statement. He's made some noise in the league, you know. So I feel like he deserves money too. Because I feel like he's constantly in the highlights. He's constantly proving that he could be the linebacker, the number one option linebacker that can then get you what you need, get you the stops, you know, tip balls, all that. So all three of these guys at linebacker, I feel like, just in general, personal feelings aside, all three of these guys, I feel like, have earned their money, which I feel like this season, they're going to prove it again of why they need to be paid. Because these three, I feel like these three is the perfect three to be on the all-contract team for linebacker. And each one could fit that blue star. Ready for it.
So you ready to push Michael Parsons out for these other two cats?
I mean, I'm not saying I'm ready. It's just that when somebody doesn't want to be somewhere, I feel like you can't come back from that. Y'all, it's hard to come back from it.
I get it, but just it's hard
in general in life.
Yeah, I know you don't want to. You want to keep it player. I get that, but like, you ain't really no players like Michael Parsons, dog. Like, that man plays like a demon. I've been saying like that man plays like a demon because I have really no other way of saying how he plays. Like, that's the best way I could basically put it. That man plays like very scary. He be throwing around offensive tackles and shit. Like, it don't make a lick of sense, like, what that motherfucker does. Like, honestly. Like, I don't know how you haven't paid him, Jerry. Like, even because I've been thinking about, like, all right, it's like maybe he likes the attention, maybe he likes this. The attention ain't getting you paid. Like, there's nothing you are really gonna do with as far as like not paying this dude is gonna really work out. Like, pay that man or get the fuck out the way for somebody else to pay him.
I will say this real quick. Nick Bonito, here's the catch to him. He went from 1.5 to 8 to 13.5 sacks. He is young. He's a second round pick. Now, if you believe in him enough and you could get him, the problem is, where is Michael Parsons going?
Mm-hmm.
See, that's my issue. Would you want to send him to Denver? I wouldn't want to send him to Denver.
As long as he don't end up in the NFC East, you know.
I mean, would try to send him to the goddamn what were they named? The tropics?
No, the Vikings. It's okay.
No. I know you like him.
I'm just here to help.
We only taking Justin Jefferson from y'all. I'm saying.
Yeah, no. That ain't happening.
Not if they let Rob have a say in the trade. You would be lucky if you get back two Kit Kats and a pack of Tic Tacs if you got something to say with it.
I give you stewed happening mistake. You are getting nothing. Air pudding.
See, I told you. I told you that's what you're dealing with. You do business with Rob. But I will say this. If you do decide to roll the dice on a second round guy like him, it's where are we sending Micah? Because do you want to send him anywhere where he could win, like right now? Because that's the issue. No. And you know that you don't want him to play this out or play out his contract and end up somewhere. Because let's just say if was a fifth. Let's say he decides I'm gonna play out and he ends up a Viking. A chief, a eagle, somewhere where he can really do damage.
You're right. Because I don't want I don't want to send him to Buffalo for Joey, and that's bad too. Mm-hmm. Yeah, nah.
Just choose wisely, because teams make room whenever players like him come available.
Right.
You don't want to see him in Kansas City. You don't want to see him in Buffalo. You don't want to see him nowhere where they. Because I'll tell you nothing. If he was to end up somewhere like in Kansas City, I'm gonna win like the next three Super Bowls. Patrick Mahomes is gonna spend most of the time with the ball on the field, throwing bombs and shit. Because Michael Parsons is gonna be nagging CTE in the people on the other side of the ball. Okay, it's the best way to put it. So,
oh man,
be careful where you wish for him to go.
Right,
this could come back to haunt you. Now, Jair Alexander, cornerback. Rob, that man has a lot of promise. Okay, yes. To me, he has a lot of promise. You gotta pay him. You gotta pay him. Yeah, I don't think you get away with it.
And I think they will. And if they don't, I think somebody else will. I think this is going to be a bounce back year. Like, talking with my brother, shout out to Roderick, man. Like, he's a Packers fan. Like, he hated seeing Jair Alexander go. But the thing about it is, like, understand that, like, yeah, he's going to show out with the Ravens. And I think that he's going to basically really come back for them and just say, hey, y'all must have forgot who I am. Like, I am a guy that's multiple-time Pro Bowler. I am a guy that basically, you know, is out here. I'm glad to see him gone, because he used to shut Justin Jefferson's ass down a lot. And so, but I think he's going to bounce back this year. Same thing could be said. Well, not really a bounce back, but, like, I think who's going to show out, because this is what the Cowboys cornerbacks do. Like, seems like with the Byron Joneses of the world, I forgot the name. But, like, they you see these guys, they don't stay with the Cowboys. Seem like you'll have, like, this Pro Bowl, you know, cornerback, like, Enderon Bland, that basically he's going to basically get his money. He's going to be gone, like Uncle Elroy in next Friday. Like, that's what it seems like it's going to be for him. But he's a guy that I would say is going to probably show out this year. Either they're going to not throw his way, or they're going to throw his way. He's going to get, like, seven interceptions. Like, it's going to be and or, you know, when it comes to him. So that's a guy that I think is going to have a great year this year.
Yeah, people forget 2023, the man had 9 interceptions. So, yeah.
Yeah.
He was just right there. Yeah, he didn't have any last year, but it forced the ball to go other places, and other people on Dallas had interceptions. So, you know, you throw enough shutdown corners out there, somebody's going to get one. Somebody's going to get one. Now, this is one that I'm interested to see how this plays out for him. Jonathan Owens.
From?
The Lou.
Thank you.
And he's also, you know, he's also married to Miss Simone Biles.
Absolutely. And because we the prize. That's STL the prize. I know everybody does. Yo, you know, prize, cool. We are the prize. We like when you look at this. Look at all this prize. That's what I'm saying, man. But like, no, Jonathan Owens. He's had some moments. Like, he has been kind of staying around the league. He's not like a great safety, but he's basically had, you know, really good moments. He had a touchdown where Simone Biles was in the crowd and everything like that with the Bears and everything. So. Nah, man, like, I think this could be a year that he more goes to that next level and shows that he can be somebody that's a mainstay in the safety position within the NFL. So between him, Byron Cook, who's with the Chiefs, you know, like, basically been playing with them for a while, they going to make some money. You know, they going to have some shine that they basically can do. But, you know, when you have an STL cat on the list, you know, it kind of shows out, you know, just basically, you know, this is other motherfuckers out there. Yeah, you know? I'm just saying, when you represent the 314, you know, when you make it out there, make it out of God's country, you know, you just, you know, you got something to you, you know, that's just what it is, you know, that's what it's gonna be, you know, it was all good. But that's the all contract year team for everyone, so, you know. Just be on the lookout for them and watch them basically show out.
yeah, it's gonna be pretty nice this year, you know. So sometime I'll be wanting to tell him, you know, he ought to look at all of the, you know, Louisiana produce wide receivers, you know, just stud out there, you know.
There. Yeah. Just, I mean, just nothing like the Lou.
Don't you have one of our wide receivers?
What are you talking about, the Lou? Or are you talking about Jameson Williams, who's from Herbert Hoover Boys and Girls Club? You know, like
No. Don't you have an LSU receiver?
I do, but you know, I'm just saying, like when we talk about the talent that is from St. Louis, the 314 baby, it's just nothing like it. Nothing matches it. Nothing basically compares, and that's just all around. I'm not basically keeping it in the NFL. I'm talking about speaking. I'm talking about looking. I'm talking about everything. You're talking about grace and air. I'm just talking about period. You know, I'm just, if you orbit a St. Louis motherfucker, you're just different. Your whole aura just changes up. I'm just saying, I'm just putting it like that. And I'm talking, and that extends to the 618. It's all in the soul, baby. So this is what it is. When you basically touch that Mississippi, you know, it's just somebody.
Somebody, I guess I'll let you know. I'll let you know. But now we have to move on. NBA, and we have to come to you guys with an NBA topic that, you know, has kind of had us thinking recently. And is LeBron ready to be D Wade, and is Luka ready to be LeBron? Oh, okay. I do not think LeBron is ready to let go of the reins of his team and become D-Wade. Why? Because he wants to be known, it was my team. I'm the reason that we won. Not Luka. All me. And he's going to have to get over himself. He's going to have to get over himself. LeBron, you're like the second greatest player. We can say that. But here's the problem. You're going to have to give up the ball to Luka. You have to go learn to be efficient whenever the ball comes your way. You have to let Luka do his thing. You want to win? You got to let Luka do. You got to let him help carry you. And I know in the back of your head, you're like, I carried everybody. I was the man. I'm LeBron. I'm King James. And I'm like, yeah, but all the time starting to catch you a little bit. You know, you already weren't a great defender. People already kind of ran past you. You know, you're great at the chase down block, but not a great on-ball defender. And this year, people was running by you. And you can't play Ole defense again next year, okay? Because it can't be three of y'all on the court. You, Austin, and Luka all playing Ole defense. Cause that's all I see. Hole, let him by. This hole, he's going by me. Now DeAndre Ayton may help remedy some of that if he can find himself as a shot blocker and recover from which I want to say he had an Achilles tear. If he can find himself after his major injury, maybe could do that. I don't know. Hopefully. I don't think so, though. I don't. I'm going to just keep it real with you. LeBron, you got to give up the team. Get a reins to Luka. And let Luka and the Lakers, because look, he already took that pay cut from leaving Texas, because trust me, I know whenever he going to see that, whenever he seen them checks come in, he was hot.
Be like, damn, they look motherfucking light.
Yeah. He was hot. Anthony Davis, on the other hand, said, check got a little heavy.
where does that Ship Zeros come from, huh?
Y'all begin this?
Look, this is how y'all treating people in Texas. You get that little extra money.
Like this whole time?
And I will tell you this. And this is going to be a bold take before I pass the ball over. Before I pass the ball to one of my homies. If you don't let this become his team, don't be surprised if he tries to make a move and go join the other big foreign great white person in Denver.
And I thought you were talking about Zubac.
Nah.
Not Zubat.
Nah. Don't be surprised if he try to link up with a you know, a great passing foreign big man named Jokic and leave you stinking over there at the Lakers. And the Lakers will blame you and Maverick forever. Like, I'll just let you know that now. He leaves because of you. That statue over there ain't happening. It ain't gonna happen. They gonna talk about their title. They gonna say it was Mickey Mouse. Some bitch won it, but look, they already talk bad enough about it. You don't want them to talk bad about it.
Yeah.
So I'm just tread lightly here. Now I'm gonna hand it over to our residential Lakers fan first. I'm gonna let Rob end it off. So, residential Lakers fan, do you think that LeBron is ready to turn over the reins to Luka?
Well, before I get into that, just one correction. You know, as the third greatest player, you know, Nate probably misspoke. As a third greatest player behind Kobe, I think it's time. You got to hand over the reins. And honestly, I feel like he's going to kind of have no choice because, I mean, granted, this is going to be his last season as a Laker. Will it be a whole season or will his play deem him tradable before the trade deadline? Because I think new ownership, they ready for it to be Luka's team. And you know, LeBron is ready to take back seat. And I think he's going to have to. The Lakers are going to want it to be, because if he does, I think that's going to, unless he does not take a back seat to get traded on purposely, I think that's going to get him traded even faster. You know, you got to take the second role, let Luka, because everybody wants it to be Luka's team. You can't go against what everybody wants in the front office. And Luka, I think that's going to diminish Luka if you don't let him take the front seat. No, Luka, he going to be the man. He the next Lakers star that's going to lead the charge. And he's going to take the number one. You know, be the cut man. That's all you need to do. You know, what they called it, the Corey McGetty play. I don't know if y'all ever heard about that. The play specifically named after Corey McGetty when he would just cut up in the middle and score every time. That's what you could do, LeBron. Come on now. Your time as number one is over. It's over. Enjoy the last little bit to the trail you got in the NBA. Go play with your second son next year and go to Cancun. Leave my Lakers alone. We are ready to see you go. Bye-bye. Thank you and good night.
Rob, is he ready to turn it over? Luka.
He should be. And it's mainly because, like, that's what was done for him in the past. And that was when they were in the problems with D-Wade going, when LeBron came to the Heat and basically D-Wade said, hey, this is your team now. The real thing, my thing is, I don't know if Luka is ready to be the LeBron for that team. Like, I don't know if he's ready to be the guy that's basically having to, well, I think he's ready to be the guy once LeBron leaves. I think that he's going to basically see LeBron as, you're going to be the dude that I have to work with and I have to be a partner with, but he's not going to basically, like, I think LeBron would be willing to give up the team to Luka. Like, I think that when it comes to, like, knowing, hey, I am basically in my 23rd year, I have played with my son who's named after me, I think he has that level of, you know, hindsight, or that, you know, the level of insight to basically be like, hey, nah, okay, no, I do need to give some of this up and I need to move on. But I think that when it comes to Luka, I don't know if he has it in him to basically say, oh no, LeBron, hop on my back. I will take this team victory. You will basically help me do this. And yeah, like, it could be to where sooner or later, Luka then goes to the Nuggets and Nuggets basically have dynasties forever and always. But I think that when it comes to right now, and when it comes to Luka, because I would be surprised if LeBron plays more than like this year. I think this year is it, honestly. But like, if basically this is what's going to be the future, and this is going to be the, or at least the right now future, I think that basically Luka needs to get rid of LeBron, and LeBron will basically give that position up to him, because he was already to do that with Anthony Davis anyway. Anthony Davis just could not stay healthy. So I think he wants to, but just Luka's gonna have to want it.
That and he secretly traded Anthony Davis and then act like he had nothing to do with it.
Oh yeah, that nigga was lying. That, I mean, oh, we all know that nigga was lying. Like that, there's no.
He can never tell me. Whenever he said what, I already knew you was lying.
Like I learned with y'all. Bullshit. Yeah.
Ain't no way. Ain't no way. But from the hardwood floor to the squared circle. You know, we here are wrestling fans. Big time wrestling fans. It's been a part of our
wrestling. Life. Wrestling.
Yeah.
Wrestling.
But, TKO, you are besmirching our favorite pastime. Do you not know that? WWE. Two WrestleManias.
Right.
Have you lost your ever-loving mind, TKO? What is wrong with you? Is something wrong? Who dropped you on your head? Who did that? You point to me right now so I can whoop their ass right now, okay? You sure did it.
Because say I their gotta names.
Go talk. Name names, motherfucker.
Right. Name names. Because whenever me and my brother Egos discussed this, many things went through my mind. And one of them was Vince is at his house rolling on the floor of his huge mansion everywhere. Just it crying. Because he's like, no, not two WrestleManias, not two show of all shows. You're not supposed to do this. And with that being said, I'm going to let my first bro, Migo, Rob. Rob, tell these people how much TKO just sold WWE out.
So crack is a drug that is usually, you know, found on, you know, the streets, smoke with a pipe. It's usually found within vacant buildings that have ne'er-do-wells do it. But it seemingly also can be found in Stamford, Connecticut. Facilities that house WWE headquarters, because you motherfuckers are out of your goddamn mind if you basically thinking that WrestleMania needs to be duplicated. There's only one Stanley Cup. There's only one Super Bowl. Like, why would you need to duplicate that? None of those other leagues are looking to duplicate that, but you are looking to duplicate WrestleMania, the showcase of the immortals, the thing that you literally build towards every single fucking year. You have a SummerSlam, you have a Survivor Series, you have a Royal Rumble, but you build everything to basically crescendo at WrestleMania. To say that you're going to basically go in 2027 to get a big WrestleMania for the Saudis and have, get this, The Rock to basically headline it. What would be age 55, I understand he looks like a 75-pound quadricep, but that is fucking ridiculous. That is ridiculous. Notion number two, number one being another WrestleMania. There is no reason to duplicate it. You've had the greatest Royal Rumble. You've had all these crown jewel events. Keep it there. Keep it to that kind of fictitious way. Like, I understand that the Saudis are basically bringing up their money. Now, if they say are doing some kind of big, huge super show in the O2 arena with Riyadh season, fine, do whatever, do your thing. Whatever. But the thing about it is, you do not have to replicate WrestleMania. That is one of one. That doesn't need to be something that happens multiple times a year. It doesn't. It's fucking stupid. I can't be for it in any kind of way.
Jarvis, two WrestleManias. What do you think?
The only thing I could think of is this is going to give them a great value at WrestleMania. Let's think back to all the Saudi shows. I don't recall anything of importance really happening. No, it's usually a glorified house show.
Yep.
They might be calling it WrestleMania, but I think the real action is still going to happen on American soil. You know, they just want to go see a great show. I mean, they're going to get their great value WrestleMania. They're not going to know it's the B show. You know, that's just what's going to happen. I feel like, you know, they're probably just calling it that for money's sake, you know, so they can get more money in from them. But I highly doubt they go and put on an amazing WrestleMania for them out there. That's just what I believe. I have a good feeling that we're still going to get the A WrestleMania, and they're just going to get a glorified house show. And I'm hoping, I hope I'm right. You better not prove me wrong, TKO. Well, I don't know, because your last few moves have been ass. And, you know, it wouldn't surprise me if you made another ass move and done something crazy ballistic out there and give us the B WrestleMania. But no, I just think they get a glorified house show. Let's keep a light head right now, you know. You know, let's see what goes on. It might not be what we think it is, you know. Let's give them a chance. Let's give them a chance to see what they do. And maybe they don't jerk us around. You know, what you got on it, Nate?
Let me play devil's advocate right now. For both of you, I want you to listen close.
Okay.
Let's frame this.
Oh.
Let's say we do get the B show. Let's say they give us all of the bullshit. Let's say they waste all of the time. Because remember, they're about to transfer their events to ESPN, and they want people to pay an extra $30 to see the events. Let's say, for all sakes, let's say that they give us the B show WrestleMania. Let's say they give you all of the shit of a glorified house show, but they give them the really good one. I mean, all of the matches we want, the right build up, the right finishes, and they give all of that to them. But they charged everybody over here thousands of dollars by the ton to get the glorified house show. Okay, how will that make y'all feel? Will you be okay with us getting that and them giving them that? No. Because I don't even want it to be called WrestleMania. I need it to be an off-brand name of WrestleMania just so we can divide. Okay? Like how they got the generic cereals, you got Fruit Loops, and then you got Fruityos. You're like, I need this to be Fruityos over here and not Fruit Loops. Like, we got Apple Jacks and they got just Apple cereal. I need Apple cereal over there, not WrestleMania.
So let's ponder some names here. How would you feel about Wrestle Hysteria?
Fine.
Like,
it's not WrestleMania.
It's even more good.
Wrestle Frenzy? Does that sound good?
That's better.
Wrestle Derangement?
That'll work.
That sounds so elementary, though. Wrestle Frenzy, bro.
Wrestle Delirium. How like, we could just call it Wrestle Phobia. I mean, that might be kind
of because they delirious. That's why.
Yeah, they off their fucking rocker. Wrestle Hallucination.
You know, anything except WrestleMania. I refuse for TKO to fuck up my childhood in the long run at 35 years. If you fuck this up for me and I done been this deep in this shit, me and somebody gotta catch a fate. Me and one of y'all gotta catch a fate. Y'all, I want 5 minutes in the room with whoever decided that this was cool. Okay? Just let me know. We can set this up and run this, bro. Because I'm not cool with this. I do not want this to be known as WrestleMania. Because they giving you money. Look, give it all brand name. Like I said, Fruit Loops, Fruityos.
Wrestle Fetish.
Get them Fruity. Any of it. Just not WrestleMania.
Rob, you're giving them too creative of a name. You're getting too creative. Best I can do is Wrestle Joy.
WrestleJoy,
that's it.
That sounds like a New Japan like event name. Really, yeah, really like pro wrestler Noah, like something like that. WrestleJoy 56.
If you do this, what is the bill? It's just gonna be matches on the card, like Crown Jewel. It just has to be. It has to be. There is no build.
I know, because like
name WrestleMania.
No title. We can't have no title changes. None of it. It's, you know, maybe a women's United States. I think compared it. You know,
Wrestle idiosyncrasy.
Let's be fair. They're not going to. Okay. Let's say they give us a bill and then they switch and they put everything that had the bill for it on their WrestleMania and then give us the glorified house show. Your payoff is in Saudi now. Not over here. We just gonna put together a show and
let's remember. Them two big stupid belts, Cody and Liv won. That's the belts that could be on the line.
The King of the Ring. That was not because they won those specific things.
Yeah, the crown huge jewel chest belt. Plates they won. Yeah.
They could defend them at Wrestle Disposition.
There we go.
Wrestle Disposition.
where all your dreams will come true. With no build up, no storyline, no nothing. Just go get the belt. Because we can't do it any other way. What is there to do?
All right, my last offer. Wrestle show. My last offer.
I think that might take the cake.
Yeah.
Wrestle show.
Give it to him. Because we can't have WrestleMania, not twice. If we have WrestleMania twice, people are going to look around and we're going to say, where are we? We're already falling apart.
Right.
Okay? We're already falling apart. And you go and do this? I'm telling you, Vince Sr. was applauding from heaven whenever he seen Vince grow to, hey, well, you know, look, his son did make the
commitment.
he had to be a little proud. He made it a bigger business. But look, now, could you see yourself right now participating? And God forbid, do you think that they're going to give him a 2-day show? Think possible. About it. WrestleMania is 2 days now.
Yeah, it's possible.
See that? Hey,
check's clear.
I don't. Ooh, that's a good question.
We just started this shit with SummerSlam, a 2-day show with SummerSlam.
Mm-hmm.
And I fear the worst is to come because something clicked in my mind while SummerSlam was going on. If they're trying to stretch SummerSlam, right? They already stretch WrestleMania. They're gonna try to stretch more of these pay-per-views 2 days, and then before we know it, WrestleMania is gonna be 3 days.
Nah.
Yeah, Rob, you may not think about it, but SummerSlam is the start of this shit because SummerSlam is nowhere near as big as WrestleMania.
It's the big four, though.
Yeah, but okay, so we're gonna have 4 2-day shows.
First, they're gonna make all the big fours. All the big fours are gonna be 2 days before they go.
Nah. I think they'll only do it with the Rumble, with SummerSlam. Wait, no, they ain't do it with the Rumble. They ain't do 2 day with the Rumble, did they?
I think they will soon, though. I think that might be coming up next.
This is where we headed, bro. We're headed in this direction.
I see you giving him the benefit of the doubt. Right. I see you giving him the benefit of the doubt.
Oh, he's thinking about it. He's thinking about it right now.
I was looking it up. No, because the Royal Rumble 26 is going to be at Saudi. So they're getting a big event. Mm. So, like, I don't think they're going to
be getting a big four.
Yeah. Yeah, so I don't know. But, no, man, it's crazy. It's very crazy.
Because remember, do we have a date on that one yet?
Just said January 26th.
Okay, so look. So peep this. We just had SummerSlam. That was a 2-day event. We have a few more left. I don't think any of those would be two-day events. They could kick this sucker off in January and say, 2 days. And say, this is how we're going to start the year. Two-day pay-per-view. Right now. Because remember, ESPN is coming into the fold. All of these other companies are coming into the fold for them to try to make more money. What mm-hmm. better way, Rob? I'm already a money-hungry TKO. I want as much as I can peel from your wallet right now. And if I can kick the year off going in your wallet twice behind a pay-per-view, I'm going to do it.
I don't know.
I'm telling you, Rob, I know you want to – look, I know you want to be the positive person, but I've been thinking about this. SummerSlam did this, and I said, this is a start of something I don't want to see. Because I feel like now you're trying to condition us to say, we're going to make the big four 2 days. And then if I can rock it a year, 2 days, I'm going to start picking which ones I can stretch 2 days. And you know what's going to be the first new one that they're going to stretch 2 days? Crown Jewel, because they're going to be able to charge the Saudis twice. And that's going to be the fifth event, and that's where that shit is going to take off at. Because every other event, they're going to be looking 2 days. Remember, you know how they do the overseas shows? Mm-hmm. 2 days. We don't come over here a lot. 2 days. Let's get your wallets. 2 days. 2 days in Australia. 2 days so in England.
So when they do Wrestling Proclivity, that's going to be like the 2 days.
Yeah.
No. That's so funny.
That's where we going. They just trying to condition us. Trying to condition us to get used to this and say, hey, these events are 2 days. I need to be ready for a 2 day watch. Cause we ain't doing an 8 hour thing no more. People don't want to be there that long.
Nah, nigga, that shit's hell.
So look, let's break it up 2 days. Everything 2 days. Saturday, Sunday.
No, I guess I'm in the minority that don't mind the 8-9 hour show. You know,
you are. Look, when we went to Mania, when we went to Mania and we were basically went to that restaurant like right after we left, I could not keep my eyes open to save my life. I was falling asleep.
You did it back to back though too. You know, that's why.
Yeah, but it's still a lot. I mean, it was still year after year, but it was like, it's still a lot, though. A lot.
I ain't gonna lie. You know, when it got to like Tuesday SmackDown, I was a little worn out. Because I did Friday to Tuesday, you know. Mm-hmm. I was a little burnt. Even by Monday, for Monday Night Raw, I was like, man, I've been wrestling it up for the past few days.
Yeah.
And remember, anytime they do the two-day show, they still do a hit for Raw in that same city again. Yep. So they're gonna try to hit as many two-day hits with that Raw that after big event Raw, where we show everybody with their new belts and title changes and this, that, and the third. Now, granted, if they could write it all right,
a lot of times the Friday show too.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
If they could write it right, I probably wouldn't say anything. But I know that they're going to write it wrong. I know this. This is, look, fish got to fly, birds got to swim.
Got to get ready for WrestleCork.
Yeah. It's coming. It's coming right now, bro. It's nothing else to hide. They're conditioning us. They want us to be ready. They're saying, hey, get you all ready, bro. Coming with this. TKO, you're ruining my goddamn favorite pastime right now.
Total not.
I'm hurt somebody. I'm hurt somebody. It gotta go down. Now, with that being said, you already know, Bro Migos Podcast, Price, Rob, Big Visky, you already know what you have to do every time you're here. You have to like and subscribe. Tell your people about us. Don't forget. Just hit the button. You know, it's free. Free 99. Just
poke
it. Poke it. Just
right there. Just, little tap. Tap, tap, yeah. Taparoo.
Yeah. Shout out to Happy Gilmore too, which was a funny movie. Yeah. Absolutely. That was totally worth my time right there. Now, before we get up out of here, Rob, Jarvis, anything you guys want to say?
Good night, Canada. Good night, Taylor Swift. Actually, that's about it.
I was say, I actually don't have anything to say. No, I'm pretty good this week. Love y'all.
You know,
leave them. I think we did good.
People, he's only saying that because next week we get on the Cowboys. That's the only reason he's saying that right now.
Check your local listings because it's going down.
I might have a lot of talking to do next week, so you know.
Just know, him and Rob gonna have a whole heap of talking to do next week. Rob over there rubbing his hands like Birdman, because y'all just don't know he's been waiting on it.
Oh, I do have one thing to say. I got just one.
Oh, what you gotta say?
We finally got the Beast Incarnate back, baby. I know it's mixed opinions. But I, for one, was very excited, ready for Brock Lesnar to return. Let's see.
He is. He's there. That's. Yeah. The Brock Lesnar is back.
He's there. He's there. With that being said, we're out of here. Peace.
Thanks for checking out this episode of the Bra Amigos podcast. Make sure to like, comment, and subscribe so you never miss an episode.